SBS Radio.
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually an extension of a program that we've been working on now for the last 10 years. We've just been given additional funding to keep it going. And part of what we have been doing is working with some Indigenous groups whose languages haven't been spoken for probably 80 years, who have felt the full impact of colonization, and with working with historical records and with linguists who are able to recreate the grammars and everything from the notes that are kept, we've been able to get Indigenous families learning and speaking languages and then setting them against very high quality animations as a part of a process of restoration, of identity construction, of re-engagement with things from the past, but also importantly as a way of getting various different generations to sit down and speak to each other and be with each other.
Yeah, how does the language become extinct, and when do you consider that language to be revived, being recognized as being fluently spoken again?
There's lots of questions in there. A language can become extinct from violence, frontier violence. Like where I work in the Northern Territory, there was a language that was extinct by the 1900s. No one knows what that language sounds like. We know that it was there. Old people that I work with could remember it being spoken, but no one speaks it. There's not been a word of it documented. In other parts of Australia, you have languages that were very, very well documented, maybe by missionaries or welfare officers or people like that. So that's the beginning. That's where Indigenous people go back to the archive. They go back to the records. And it's a slow, painstakingly forensic job to bring those languages back up. In fact, some Indigenous people say languages don't die. They've just gone to sleep. As long as there's the records that are there, it's possible to bring them back. So two good examples in Australia would be Palawakani in Tasmania and Kaurna language in Adelaide, where those languages have been brought back into being spoken again. I'm not saying fluently as yet, but have become a part of people's everyday life. And I think the important thing is that this is happening Australia-wide. Indigenous groups Australia-wide are wanting to re-engage with language as a core aspect of identity and cultural meaning.
Yeah, no, that's very good. If you have people willing to actually take part in this process of reviving, because language is just not the words that we use. Language is steeped into culture, into connection to the land and spirituality and all that. And it's a really very wide-ranging reach. It's not just the words that we speak.
No, well, that's right. And so a lot of the research we do with Indigenous families that approach us to work with animation is, firstly, we ask them what they want animated. Some people actually want to do songs and things like this, but those of them that want to do sort of more ancestral kinds of narratives, we have to do research in museums. We've just finished an animation, for example, of a major story that travels through Adelaide, and we had to create a landscape that was pre the city of Adelaide. So we had to do a lot of research into what did that environment look like. We had to remove all the buildings, put the beaches back the way they were, put the cliffs back the way they were. So animation allows for a reconstruction, if you like, of even an Australia that doesn't exist anymore, so that we can put the languages back into the country as they once would have been spoken in that country.
Yeah, but this 3D process, this sounds like a high-tech process. And
well,
is the equipment...
We use the same technology that were... Do you remember the film Avatar?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, it's the same animation process that was used in Avatar. Our team, we actually have a name. We're called the Wunungwawara, which means a strong and healthy country in the Yanyuwa language from Northern Australia, animating Indigenous knowledges. And there's a team of three of us. There's myself, and then there's the lead animator, Brent McKee. And we have an Indigenous project officer by the name of Fred Leone. So there's three of us basically working across Australia with various groups of people that choose to work with us. And Brent, in terms of the animator, is the genius behind making these things look as good as they look.
Yeah, but because I believe when you do it in 3D, then you can also really properly demonstrate, like as you mentioned, the beaches, the objects, and everything comes back to life.
Yeah, and, from people feeding back to us, Indigenous people that have worked with us feeding back to us, one of the first things they always said is that if you're going to animate, We want our country to look like our country. We want our animals to look like our animals, and we want people to look like people. So that was one of the first things that was said to us. So, but that doesn't mean we do everything like that. We've also animated paintings where people said, look, we've got some artwork, and we would like that artwork animated. So we approach each community and listen to what they actually want, and we work from there. So, yes, we've done some highly realistic 3D animations, but we've also done some other kinds, and many of them are online, so people anywhere in Australia, in the world, can actually go online and look at them.
A project like this is, well, nowadays nothing comes cheap, and you've just benefited from some donation. Tell us about this big donation that you received.
Well, the Alan and Elizabeth Finkel Foundation have supported us nearly from the very beginning of this. We worked for a while just on minor funding for 3 or 4 years, and then they took an interest in it and gave us a large philanthropic gift, which came to an end last year, to keep working. And this year they've given us another large gift to keep the project going. So we're very, very thankful to their vision, as are many Indigenous peoples around Australia thankful for their vision.
Who are they, Alan and Elizabeth Finkel?
Well, Alan Finkel is Australia's chief scientist.
No, it's good to remind.
So he's a high-level person, but he saw early on the vision we had for what we were doing, was very, very interested in it, and his family trust then gifted us, as I said, the first gift, and we've just now been in receipt of a second gift from that family.
Yeah, because the name was very popular to me. I knew this name from all the reports we got on the environment and all that, but hardly anything.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, because everything environmental, we used to hear the name Alan Finkel, but not really an interest in something even more powerful than the environment.
Well, he spoke of his interest coming out of the experience of a lot of the work that was done around the recordings of Holocaust memories and things like this, and in many respects dealing with, in you know, the preservation of Indigenous languages, or the working with Indigenous languages, we face, you know, what some people think to be a story of Australia that they don't want to hear, but it exists. And if, you know, Australia's Aboriginal languages were an old growth forest, then the ecology is in a really, really perilous condition. And this gift has enabled us to hopefully get out there and make the forest a little bit more vibrant.
Before I let you go back, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to add to this conversation?
Well, I think the important thing is that this, we don't go out seeking Indigenous communities to work with us. We wait till Indigenous people come to us and they find out in various ways what we do, and then they're approached. And I think the most important thing for any Indigenous person that's out there listening is that we have negotiated that the intellectual property of every animation we do belongs to the families and the communities that we work with. And I think in, you know, this day and age, that's incredibly important. So we've done a lot of thinking about how best to do this, and so we approach very carefully each community, and the animations that we work with take as long as they need to take to be done properly. SBS.com.au.